Bone, Layla Rahimi, and Marshall Harris bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got five on it. Number one.
First question on Five on It is a juicy one. Which player would you rather build around? Cubs outfielder Pete Crow Armstrong or Pirates ace Paul Skeens?
That's the best evil laugh I've heard in a very long time.
Listen, they're not going to like what I got to say about this because it's Paul Skeens. Paul Skeens is 23 years old. Paul Skeens has been elite since he stepped onto a mound in the major leagues. Actually, he's been elite since he stepped on any mound as far back as I can remember out of LSU.
Go Tigers.
A 5.9 war last year, a 4.7 war this year. He has been electric. A .937 whip. He's already struck out 300 batters through his first 43 starts, and he gets no run support. We talk about changes of scenery all the time. If that man was on a team that had, first of all, the Cubs defense behind him.
Oh my God.
Exactly. Exactly. It's Paul Skeens. Look, here's something we've learned not only every offseason, but also at every trade deadline. Is it easier to get offensive help or pitching? Elite pitching. He is elite pitching personified. Paul Skeens. And you know what? I'm saying that knowing that at some point, he's going to get the Tommy John. I'll take a year off of Paul Skeens to have more of Paul Skeens.
Is that the official sound effect when you have Tommy John? Your arm goes down. It's real tragic. Okay. I also, among us, decided it was Paul Skeens. And this goes to the heart of my who you build your baseball team around question. This was not mine, actually, but my personal, how I always like to say, you pay stoppers and boppers. And Pete Crow Armstrong is a bopper. My only concern is he's not an established bopper yet. Throw him a slider. Unfortunately, he's still biting. The pitch selection is working. You know, it's a work in progress. It's a story that continues to unfold. You know who you are, Paul Skeens. We know who you are. In fact, I'm pretty sure our listeners know exactly who you are because they tried to create all these wild trades last week in order to get you. We all seem to know who Paul Skeens is. They do have some interesting parallels. You know, it's not just that they're both 23. They are both from Southern California. One is from Orange County in Skeens. The other is from LA County in PCA. And they've got that glamour vibe to them. You know, Skeens and Livy Dunn working the red carpet. PCA and his girlfriend working the red carpet. Like, if you had them on a team together, you're probably loving every day of your life because you know that you've got this incredible young core. But pitching. The reason why we all value him is because of what we know he does on the mound every day, which is just goes out there and throws ridiculous gas.
He doesn't just give you a chance to win every day. He makes it so that you feel like you should have won every time he steps on the mound.
Stopper. Is PCA as an established of a bopper as, say, his best bud, Kyle Tucker? No. Then it might be a different discussion.
Five on it. Number two.
We are inching ever closer to football. Bears rookies report to training camp on Saturday, which leads us to ask this question. Outside of quarterback, what Bears position group are you most intrigued by heading into the season?
Outside of quarterback, what position am I most intrigued by heading into the season? The receiving core. I'm not counting tight ends in that even. I'm just talking about the receivers. How are you going to use Roma Dunze? I did not figure it out last year. He didn't get thrown a lot of catchable balls. He got picked 9th overall. We all know you could have made a lot of different decisions there. Guys like Joe Alt were still available. So in my opinion, I want to see how you're utilizing the person who you think is going to be side-by-side with Caleb Williams because they started their careers together. I want to see what happens with DJ Moore. He is a guy who can do so many things. And if you're talking about making the same things look different and different things look the same, then I feel like PCA, then I feel like DJ Moore is a person who can do that for you. So his versatility would be valued. And then additionally, what is going to happen with a guy like Luther Burden III? He thrived in the slot at Missouri. How does that translate to Ben Johnson's offense? So for me, Layla, L. Brahimi, it is definitely the receiving core.
I just want to know what Alamide Zaccheaus is going to do. I mean, is he going to have a role in this offense?
And he's a slot guy, too.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but I guess you need depth. For me, Layla, can you guess what I'm most intrigued? If you had to guess what position group I want to know about, like we're working with me day by day. Could you guess? I'm just curious if you could guess. You could get it wrong. It's fine.
Defensive line.
It is defensive line.
Yay!
It's like she knows me.
We're like PCA and Kyle Tucker in the outfield together. Who's running around the most? You do more steps per show than I do. I just sit here and try to conserve warmth.
It's because I'm an old. When you're an old, you have to like stretch your legs and make sure your hamstrings and your back and your glutes and your hips are all loose enough that I can walk home after the show.
I'm like a lizard. I just don't move in the cold and then I fall out of a tree.
Oh, as long as you don't lose your tail, because you know, oh, it would grow back.
Huh. How convenient.
Montez Sweat, what's up? Grady Jarrett, nice to meet you. Trevon, oh, you want to get paid, huh? Dio, you just got paid. Shamar, welcome to the fold.
Gig'em.
Austin, did you put some weight on yet? I have questions, man. Oh, wait. Andrew, you just keep doing what you're doing now that you're healthy. I have so many questions about this group. Dominique Robinson notwithstanding. I mean, I just want to know who's going to be doing what and at what level they're going to be doing it. That's where I am with this group. There are veterans, there are young players, there are young players who are acting like veterans in speech, but I need to see it on the field. I need Dennis Allen to have this group ready to cause havoc so that Tyrique Stevenson can be a Pro Bowler. Can't be a Pro Bowler if you're out here running around for 15 seconds trying to chase people. That's not going to work.
No, that's just your cardio. that's just you out here with the vibes.
So, yeah, it's defensive line. It's not close. I need to see something that makes me believe that this team can be worthy of a team that's legitimately planning to challenge for a playoff spot. And if your defensive line isn't good, that's not going to happen. Point blank. Period.
Yeah, you don't want guys like Aaron Rodgers to look forward to playing you, not just because he's facing the Bears, but because he's like, oh, they don't rush the passer. I can just hang out here all I want. Immunize that.
He's very good when he's not, you know, under attack.
His pre-snap read for me is everything with him. He's the best in the game. I'm not going to turn this into a segment for appreciating Aaron Rodgers, but facts are facts.
I didn't bring him up. You did.
Still, though. You just don't want to make any opposing quarterback look forward to seeing
you. You're absolutely right. He's the least mobile of the quarterbacks we could probably think of that are elite or have been elite in their career. I'm not calling him elite right this second. But, you know, it's different when you're Lamar Jackson, who they will face. Joe Burrow, who they will face. It's different when in back-to-back weeks, by the way, they'll face those two guys.
Whew.
They're going to have to get to the quarterback. It's pretty simple.
Five on it. Number three.
Five on it with Raheem and Harris continues with this question. Are you worried about the contract negotiations between the Bulls and guard Josh Giddey will fray their relationship and impact what happens on the court? Layla Marshall, how worried are you?
Not worried. You have to have other teams to go to in order to have a market. Who are the other teams right now? Who are the other teams in this new second apron world of the NBA? Who wants Josh Giddey, who hasn't already addressed the needs that Josh Giddey would complete for your team? Sometimes you have to go with the one who brung you. And in this case, the one who traded for you is likely the team you're going to stay with. But I hope that means the Bulls get him at a discount, because they need the financial flexibility badly. I don't know that this would go poorly necessarily for Giddey. He needs it to go better based on this information alone. If teams feel like they don't need you or they've met the need without you, then you still have to prove yourself either way. So,
you know, it's a version of that old meme. The best time to start making better decisions was yesterday. the next best time to start making better decisions is today. That's where Acme is right now. Arturis Karnišovas, Mark Eversley, the people who run the Bulls. Because here's why. Do I agree with the things that they've done this offseason? No. But they can turn it around anytime they want to. The Josh Giddey contract can be the next time they turn things around. You have him literally by body parts untold.
708. I'm hoping the negotiations fray the relationship.
Listen, if he wants to sign the qualifying offer, so be it. All I know is the Bulls don't have to pay him anywhere near what he thinks he deserves. I'm not even out here pocket watching. I am second apron watching. And I understand if you give him all the money and then you give Coby White all the money, now those are the guys getting all the money, and who's going to come get on that team and push them over the top to be a championship contender? That's how I'm looking at it.
Number four.
Hey, guys. Change can be hard sometimes. And there's been a lot of change in college football. NIL, conference realignment, transfer portal, etc. Have all the changes in college football make you care less about the sport? And has the sport lost its national appeal?
Has the sport lost its national appeal? I don't think it's that deep. I still think college football matters because at its level, it is the only game in town. And if anything has taught you what's going on in the college football scene, it's that I feel like it's only grown more because of what's gone on with NIL. The appetite for football in this country is massive. You not only want to watch NFL football every day of the week, you likely want to watch your favorite, not just team, but conference. So in that case, when you consider how big the Big Ten is now, how big the SEC is now, and how entire court hearings and legislative hearings are happening over other conferences like the ACC, for example, then I think NIL makes you understand the value of players and their careers in college, understand that a little bit better. But when it comes to the flip side of that being, do you care less because they're getting paid? No, I care more because I feel like guys are actually starting to get theirs. There are some great college players who never make it to the NFL because of injuries that they suffer, and they deserve to be paid for the value that they bring not only to their school and their program and the money that program brings in, but also because they put in the time and the effort, not just with a college scholarship. Like, let's be honest about what this really is, you know? So I feel like that NIL doesn't hurt me. Doesn't transfer portal doesn't hurt me. I like to see where people want to go, and I appreciate the sport regardless.
While I appreciate the sport, and I believe that nationally the views aren't going to change much, how many of y'all out there can tell me where all the Power Five schools from 3 years ago are playing conference football today? I guarantee you can't do them all. I guarantee you can't do them all. If you're a casual college football fan, you would be confused. But maybe you know Stanford's in the ACC with Cal. Maybe you know.
Stanford in the ACC is the best illustration.
There's certain things that have happened, but as for me, my interest has declined. But that's because I have allegiance to a school that gave me a free education. Mississippi State University, a school that last year won all of two games in this new great SEC. It's not great for everybody, let me just tell you. It's not great when you look up and you're like, oh, we've got Texas and Texas A&M and Georgia for three straight games. Oh, Tennessee, Missouri, the University of Mississippi. Oh, Toledo for a home game? Oh, we lost 41-17? My team went two wins all of last season against Eastern Kentucky and UMass, which would have been cool in like the 1996 Final Four, but we're talking about football. So, yeah, my interest is waning. Part of it is because I'm a Mississippi State fan. It was a free education. I owe allegiance to them, but part of it is just because I'm tired of trying to keep up with stuff. But I do love the college football playoff.
Get off your lawn.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Five on it.
Number five.
Five on it with Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score continues with this question. What are you doing tonight?
Yeah, there's no game to watch. There's no WNBA. There's no baseball. I guess I could watch Summer League. I am going to a pool party with Ozzy Guillen at Four Winds Casino. But that is from 4:30 to 6 Central, 5:30 to 7 Eastern. After that?
You get home around 8?
It's just a blank space. Yeah, I am supposed to have dinner with a friend of mine.
Oh, well, there you go.
That only takes like an hour or so because she's got work the next day and I have work the next day. But yeah, I think that the option is you got to hang out with your friends because show prep is going to be a little difficult and different when it comes to trying to figure out what you do when there's nothing to do.
I have a different type of show prep going on. As you know, I'm off tomorrow. Rami Makhlouf will be joining you at Gallagher Way for that abbreviated show before the Cubs take on the Red Sox right here on 670 The Score. The reason I'm off is because I have a production day ahead of a 32-team tournament. If you're in the city and you see a bunch of tall young ladies walking around, those would be high school basketball players in town for the Nike Nationals tournament.
Yeah, don't go miscusi on them.
Definitely don't go miscusi on them. Yeah, that'll get you a case. But yeah, so I have to build boards for 32 teams because I don't know who we're actually broadcasting in my 12 games in 3 days beginning Saturday, and I won't know until Saturday afternoon. So I have to prepare as if any of those 32 teams could be one of the 8 teams I'll be broadcasting on Saturday. And so, yeah, I'm going to be doing a lot of prep work, looking up the top 50 ranked basketball players and making sure I've got all their bios and everything. Yeah.
If you didn't have the pool, if I didn't have the pool party, and if you didn't have your work with no games, what do you do?
Well, I'm still going to dinner with my friend who's flying in from Arizona tonight. So this is the only night I can see her because of all the work I just said I got to do. So
dinner with the friend is the way.
Dinner with a friend, and because I don't have like a super timeline, like our meeting tomorrow is not till like noon tomorrow. I can stay out late. Maybe I'll get a beverage. Thinking about maybe going to, I can't think of anywhere, but somewhere where there's stuff. I'm going to try to have a good time tonight.
Yeah, you don't have to broadcast tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't have to broadcast, but it's a prep. I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff.
What are you guys doing?
I'm going to be boring. I have a bunch of things that I have neglected to do because I was...
Are you adulting, Ray?
I'm adulting, and it's going to be a lame night, but it's got to get done. Before the weekend, though, I'm happy about that.
Tyler?
Yeah, I got nothing exciting going on. I'm probably going to go finish the second season of Quarterback, and that's pretty much it.
That's a really good idea.
Might eat some ribs, too.
The whole season's out? I didn't know the whole season
was
out.
I didn't finish whatever I'm at. I'm only like 3 episodes in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. I have to renew a Netflix subscription, so I'll get on that as well. Maybe tonight, since I have the time. Yes, Rami Makhlouf and I are at Gallagher Way tomorrow. If you want to join us, I should probably mention that as well. Since we have a Cubs game tomorrow, Rami Makhlouf and I will be at Gallagher Way from 10 to 12:45, broadcasting live. Leading up to the Cubs and Red Sox at Wrigley, it is brought to you by IDOT, the Illinois Department of Transportation. They'll be on hand with activities to show you how you can be safe driving home from the game. Visit itsnotagameillinois.com to learn more. Coming up next here on Rahimi and Harris on The Score, we hang out in the NFC North with our friend, love to have him on every time he's here, Lomas Brown, the former NFL All-Pro. He's part of the Detroit Lions radio network. He joins us to talk about the division next here on Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Big play right here. Let's see what Ben Johnson dials up. Third and goal from the 3 for the Lions. Goff empty out of the gun. He's got it back. Looks. Throws end zone. Caught. Touchdown Detroit Lions. James Mitchell. Hey, rookie. Welcome to Detroit. That's your first NFL touchdown. Oh, boy, did they need that.
And Dan, give those big boys some credit up front because they let Jarrett look to the left, look to the right, and he came back to the left, found this tight end coming across the middle of the end zone, touchdown. And I know the young fella's going to keep that ball. That's the first one. You got to keep it.
That you heard was the Lions Radio Network in 2022. And that last voice you heard was Lomas Brown. We expect to be joined by Lomas Brown in a minute or two here on Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. And I had a brain fart earlier. I said Joe Alt. It was Olufoshanu. So sorry about that. My brain was not working earlier on R5 on it. So my bad. Sometimes the names don't all switch over. Lawrence talked about that yesterday, the downloading of NFL names from baseball names from NBA names. And it takes me a second. So
no, it could happen to anyone.
Live radio, 4.5 hours. Sometimes your recall isn't tip top.
I want to just tell people what just happened. Chiefs Rashee Rice has just been sentenced 30 days of jail time and 5 years probation for his role in a multi-car car crash. You might remember that.
In Dallas, right?
Yeah. So that's big news. And now because the sentencing is in, now the NFL can take action and do whatever they're going to do, which is probably going to be a multi-game suspension at some point this season.
They waited until the legal process concluded or at least made a ruling. We see that a sentence has been handed down. So, yeah, the next step would be if the NFL wants to add on it. I believe the term we see in ESPN is the NFL can now expedite its disciplinary process of Rice. Also, since we're here, some other NFL news. You may have heard it earlier today right here on 670 The Score. Multiple reports saying that Bears defensive player Shamar Turner has been agreed to terms. So that's a good news because he's a second round pick and we need to see two more, hopefully at some point, get signed here by the Bears. Ian Rappaport had this. The Bears and second round defensive tackle Shamar Turner have agreed to terms on his 4-year rookie contract, source says, as the logjam slowly begins to open up.
Also, we have some breaking news. It's big news to me anyway.
Yes.
Breaking news brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Caitlin Clark has announced she will not participate in the WNBA All-Star Game or the three-point contest.
Oh, I thought it was just the three-point contest. More news came out just now.
Yeah, Clark left the Fever's game on Tuesday with a groin injury, so she's out. There's a high chance that Angel Reese also won't participate. WNBA All-Star Weekend just took a big hit.
It did. And I, you know, she had the quad injury earlier in the year. That's why she didn't play at the United Center the last time the Fever and the Sky played. And that's unfortunate that the groin is now an issue for Caitlin Clark. Hope for a quick recovery. And that is a shame. We were hoping to see because she had Team Clark. And there was Team Collier and Nafisa Collier and Caitlin Clark were the two biggest vote-getters in the WNBA. So that's why they got to do team captain duties and select their teams. Angel Reese was supposed to play for Team Collier, which is Nafisa's squad.
It's tough because Caitlin has had a rough season, not only health-wise, but also just shooting-wise. She's been an abysmal shooter on the road, not making nearly as many of the threes that people come. The reason they sell out buildings when she's on the road is because she can pull up from wherever, Steph Curry range.
Well, and when you are able to devote bodies to try to guard her in a way that's more deliberate in the WNBA, maybe she can't get as free as she did last year, but also the college game, of course, where she was in a league of her own when it came to how they defended her and the mismatches she took advantage of. So seeing a sophomore slump, I don't think is anything abnormal. That's pretty common, I feel like. So seeing how she answers, I think, especially in this next second half of the WNBA season, will be hopefully a lot of fun to watch. And hopefully it's just missing the All-Star game for her.
Yeah, especially when her back for that next game at United Center going up against this guy. I love the Chicago-Indiana rivalry, and that's a thing.
That it absolutely is. And unfortunately, this season, it has been very one-sided in the Fever's favor. Those are some of the best games that they've had all season.
Also, hoping that Angel Reese and her teammates, Ariel Atkins and whoever else, everybody just needs to get healthy. Get healthy and stay healthy.
Yeah, use the break to get healthy. WNBA season is 44 games, which is the longest that they've ever had. Last year, it was only 40.
And a lot of people are saying the reason why a lot of injuries are happening now is because, you know, they play year-round. Women's basketball players trying to get that bag. Because, as you know, WNBA, pay is not as good as it is in other places. And when I say other places, I just mean other basketball leagues.
Well, here we are talking about whether or not second round picks are going to get part of or all of their money guaranteed. And we discussed the calculus that goes into that, because the Texans, as we know, kind of set the market whenever they decided that they were going to guarantee a rookie second round contract. So then what happened after that? Everybody kind of had to fall in line. And the 49ers last night agreed to terms with Alfred Collins. And so at that point, you had 29 of the 32 second round picks that still remain unsigned. Shamar Turner, a good sign, because that lowers the number to 28. Trying to figure out how much of that money for him is, for say, example, guaranteed. Then you go to the WNBA side, where if you're injured, and even if you're the 13th overall pick, you can get cut.
Yeah, non-guaranteed anything. And we've seen that play out. You know, the Golden State Valkyries, an expansion team, cut all their picks before the season started.
No money for you.
Yeah, but they're still good. That's what's crazy. They're still looking like they're going to be a playoff team this year.
So. When you think about all the work that athletes put in, to have it just not be guaranteed because of circumstances that aren't necessarily in your control, that's when you start to realize how bad and how much they need a new CBA. And that's what's happening. Our friend Andy Costable, who works with Front Office Sports Now, talked about how WNBA players are going to have to dig in their heels because they know this might be a big fight coming up to ratify a new CBA.
And what's terrible is they really can't afford any type of a work stoppage. They just can't afford that at this time because of how far this league has come in the first 25 years. It would be awful if they had to deal with a work stoppage at this point. They've got all the momentum.
This is funny. 847, weird how I've never heard anyone on the station say a single word about race as negative as the fair analysis of Caitlin Clark you just offered. We have talked about players fairly.
Wait.
That's kind of the idea.
What are you...
And also, just because we talk about Caitlin Clark getting injured, that doesn't have to do with Angel Reese.
Also, 708, Marshall doesn't like CC. What are you talking about? I love Caitlin Clark.
Of course. Of course this is happening.
Listen. I appreciate Caitlin Clark's game. She's a phenomenal player. I don't even know what else to say. Like, what are we talking about?
We talked about Nafisa Collier, too. Do you equate her the same way? Probably not, because she's the favorite to win MVP. The three play for the same league.
We literally just talked about Angel Reese and how she had gotten off to such a horrible start after you did the Sky game and how she has been better of late.
Yeah, she's been finishing at the rim.
Yeah, that's what...
You can listen on the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, I think people just, they want to pick a side and they want to win a, some people believe that Caitlin Clark is inherently good or bad as opposed to just evaluating what you see. Some people believe that Reese is inherently good or bad as opposed to evaluating what you see. So, you know, apparently Lomas Brown will not be joining us today. So we have turn the page to some talk, because we just got news here on Raheem and Harris that Caitlin Clark will not be participating in the WNBA All-Star Game, which is a big blow to all those people. Whoever paid for tickets, I know those tickets weren't cheap. And so I feel bad for fans. It's always the fans who are losing out, whether
That's
it's
it.
Load management, whatever. Fans are the ones who ultimately pay the price.
630 says they listen every day and have never heard either of you say a bad word about Clark or Reese.
Yeah, just like if they have a bad game, we'll talk about it.
We talk about how they struggled. Like, I don't know how you talk about the last game against the Fever and not talk about what happened. 847, why do you guys give any attention to the negative comments if they upset you so much? We're not upset.
We're just correcting them.
Addressing them.
Sometimes people make mistakes.
But also, conversations are good.
Yes.
Like, if you didn't hear something, okay, well, let's talk about that. That's the goal of the show every day from 10 to 2. So, I don't know. I get it, though. I feel like even in those comments, you're seeing a little bit of understanding and context. And for that, I am proud of us.
My point about Caitlin Clark was just that she's shooting under 28% from three, which is not good. And it's really exacerbated when you look at the home road splits. She's shooting, Layla, I'm going to give this to you. She's 27 of 69 at home on three. That is four. That is 39% from three. Okay, got that?
That's home.
On the road, she's 2 for 35. That's 0.057 shooting percentage. That's 5.7% of her threes she's making when she's on the road.
She's also not attempting them. Like that's the other part of that number that's really interesting when it comes to the road split.
She's played 8 games at home and only 5 games on the road. So
because of the injuries.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Here, for example, would have been it was technically a road game, even though we saw so many Iowa fans, but she would have attempted a ton of threes in that game had she been here.
So my question is this to Texters, listeners, whatever. If I just tell you what I just told you, is that me saying I don't like Caitlin Clark? No, that's just me pointing out she has not been good on the road shooting threes. And people pay a lot of money when she goes on the road versus the other home games in most markets, not all, because Las Vegas will fill up the building regardless.
Right.
There are places that will fill up the building. But when Caitlin Clark is in town, it's a thing.
Also, in case you're wondering, we do have the next game against the Indiana Fever at the United Center, and it is on the score on the 27th. So come hang out. I'm looking forward to it. Kylan Mills and I will be on the call, so that'll be a lot of fun. But it is a shame that Caitlin Clark is not going to be in the All-Star game. I wonder if the WNBA has a work stoppage, and this is all a big if.
Oh, man.
But if they do, and if Caitlin Clark is available to do something, I wonder what she could do, because there is such a big fan demand that maybe would I know people want to see her play in some way, shape, or form. I wonder if there was an opportunity there where something could happen.
Well, you remember when the NBA had its work stoppage way back when? Has it been 15 years, 20 years?
The 99 work stoppage?
No, the one more recent, where they were going around playing, and they had a shortened season. You had teams playing games on 3 straight nights. Because they eventually played that season.
Yeah.
So they were just playing pickup wherever and selling out gyms, smaller venues, obviously. So who knows what'll happen?
I don't know. Food for thought. I mean, she signed a lot of autographs at the UC when she was here the last time, so she's available. But yeah, that's a big bummer. No, 630, we're stocking at Eugenio Suarez in 20 minutes. That's at 1 o'clock. But you can get a head start on it if you want, because we've done a lot of work. So I want to make sure you join us for that segment coming up at the top of the hour. Shame we didn't get Lomas Brown. I'm bummed, but something tells me he'll make it up to us.
Yes, he will.
Coming up next here on 670 The Score, Ken Rosenthal came out with this article, which is good enough to get you going on what's up. What I'm hearing about the MLB trade deadline with 2 weeks to go. So let's examine and get ready for the stalking segment at 1. All next on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I would like to get us ready for some breaking news. I would like to play the music for The Source if we can, because I feel like it will get you in the mood, Marshall Harris. It will get you in the mood for the foosball.
Is that a Waterboy reference?
It is.
Okay.
And in this case, it is not the devil. Also, a Waterboy
foosball
reference.
Foosball's the devil!
Do we have it, Tyler Buterbaugh? Let's do it. That's right! According to the football man of the Chicago Tribune and a valued friend of the morning show, Brad Biggs, who talks football with you. He says the Bears have a deal in place with Ozzie Trapillo, the other of the 3 second-round picks. So now we're down to 1.
Luther Burden III.
But the good news is we can put that to rest. The concern about whether or not the 6'8" potential left tackle to start the season if Braxton Jones isn't ready to go. Karan Amagaji isn't the dude. And now he's signed, sealed, and will be delivered, I assume, tomorrow. No, Saturday, whenever the Bears rookies can report to camp.
My overall concern has waned, but I still, like, especially after talking to Adam Hoge and Adam Johns, the Luther Burden III concern is still at an alert level.
Let's not do DEFCON, because that's only 5 numbers and confuses people.
Yeah, because they don't know which way is up and which way is down.
Correct. On a scale of 1 to 10.
On Luther Burden III, I'm a 6.
All right.
Which is enough.
It is. It's sufficient. That breaking news here on The Score, by the way, was brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. So, Shamar Turner signed this morning, according to Brad Biggs and others, and now Ozzie Trapillo. It's coming together. Coming together.
And now Ozzie Trapillo is going to go out there on day one and should be the starting reps left tackle. Not the starter, but the guy who's getting all the starting reps, because Braxton Jones, as we know, was never expected to be ready to go at the start of training camp.
Correct.
I can't believe we're talking about training camp and it's like about to happen, yeah. As opposed to, you know, when they get back to House Hall for training camp. No. They're reporting in 2 days. The rookies are.
That 6 weeks went fast because time flies when you're watching decent baseball.
Ooh, that's a new one.
It's true, though.
But it's also true.
I mentioned this before we went to commercial. Ken Rosenthal with the latest as we also get ready for the trade deadline here on Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. And Marshall, it was the second paragraph in his article on The Athletic that referred to what you did. It says, after investing in a combined $107 million in free agent relievers, Tanner Scott, Blake Treinen, and Kirby Yates, the Dodgers are expected to pursue bullpen help, according to sources briefed on the team's plans.
My favorite part of this, Dodgers president of baseball operations, Andrew Friedman, hates overpaying at the deadline and constructed his 2025 roster with the express purpose of avoiding such a fate. Looks like he'll be shopping again anyway.
Also, there's a Michael Kopech update in here. He says Kopech, whose season production amounts to 7 scoreless innings in June, is on track to return next month from surgery to repair a damaged meniscus in his right knee, which, you know what that led me to think about? That game he had against the Orioles where he hurt his knee and then went out there and kept pitching.
Because that's what you got to do sometimes.
In the Sox case, they didn't necessarily have to. But there's also news in here about who the Cubs will face next, and that is the Boston Red Sox. I remember a time 7 years ago where Charlie Morton said he was retiring. Now he's 41 years old. And Rosenthal mentions him and says Morton, 41, was the symbol of the Orioles' early season collapse, posting a 10.89 ERA in his first five starts. But over his last 59 innings dating back to April 29th, his ERA is 3.05. He says the Red Sox would love to do better, and perhaps they will. But the starting pitching market is thin, and Sox manager Alex Cora is familiar with Morton from the 2017 Houston Astros. With Brian Bello and Lucas Giolito on a roll, Giolito starts tomorrow, you guys, perhaps the Sox would be okay with someone like Morton rather than a pure and possibly unattainable number two starter. This helps us. We're trying to define the market, and I feel like this is a good indicator of trying to make it make sense.
Tell me Charlie Morton would be a good option for the Cubs as well.
What are you giving up in a seller's market to get a guy who's 41 who you don't necessarily know what he's going to give you?
I mean, if he gives me what he's been giving me since April 29th. April 29th is not May 29th or June 29th. It's April 29th. He's clearly straightened out whatever was going wrong.
I know, but at the end of the day, he's still 41, and that concerns me. Here we are talking about Andrew Heaney and what that means for him at 34 in our previous segment. Seth Lugo, to a lot of people, is a gamble based on his age at 36, even though he's had such a great resume. Morton's 41.
No. Seth Lugo's still at the top of my list, but I think he's at the top of a lot of teams' lists as well, and that's the problem. You don't want to get in a bidding war unless you can win the bidding war and feel good about it.
The Orioles are also listening on closer Felix Bautista, who is under club control for 2 additional seasons. I think if he goes anywhere, he probably goes to the Phillies. They need help in the reliever department. And here's this on Luis Robert. The problem for the White Sox. Well, let's start with this. In his recent midseason awards column, The Athletic's Jason Stark named Chicago White Sox center fielder Luis Robert his least valuable player.
LVP, baby!
The problem for the White Sox is that they might face little choice but to move Robert anyway. There seems virtually no chance of the team exercising Robert's $20 million option for 2026. A trade would be the only way to get something back, however meager. His 190 batting average is the second lowest among qualifiers after Michael Conforto's 184. perhaps a team such as the San Diego Padres, who already have Gavin Sheets, by the way, would take Robert if the White Sox included a portion of his remaining salary, something the team has indicated a willingness to do. But even then, the White Sox could not count on getting much of a return. Robert's value keeps sinking, and time is running out.
Layla, do you know what the most interesting thing about this article was? The back. A wild and crazy idea. Tucker, as in Kyle Tucker, in Tampa Bay. Did you hear? I want you to let that really wash over you. Kyle Tucker in Tampa Bay. And here's what Rosenthal says. The thought might not be as preposterous as it sounds, depending upon how much Patrick Zalupski is willing to spend on players after plunking $1.7 billion or so for the team. Tucker, 28, is a native of Tampa. The Rays are a good bet to escape the final 8 years of Wander Franco's 11-year, $180 million contract if Franco is unable to leave the Dominican Republic after being found guilty in that country of sexual abuse of a minor. And even under owner Stuart Sternberg, they've occasionally tried to go big in free agency, most notably during the 21-22 offseason when they reportedly offered Freddie Freeman 6- and 7-year deals in the $140 to $150 million range as a free agent. Tucker figures to command at least 3 times that much, maybe more. The range might be far out of Zalupski's comfort zone, but what better way for a new owner to announce his intentions than by signing the best free agent available? Big splash.
Yeah, free agency, sure. But
No, the Cubs aren't trading Kyle Tucker, but I'm saying that's the last thing they need is more teams who, with the financial wherewithal to say, we'll go after the big fish.
I feel like that would be the case, though. You're right. That is, if you're a new owner and you want to make a splash a la Steve Cohen, to say the least, then perhaps that would be the case. So I don't, if you're Kyle Tucker, you want more bidders, not less. So I think that makes it make sense. Coming up next here on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score, you heard a few of the quick hits around Major League Baseball, according to Ken Rosenthal. Well, we are going to continue our stalking segment. We call it that because we do a deep dive on possible trade candidates and targets for the Chicago Cubs. We've done a lot of pitching work. Now we're going to point to a man whose birthday is today. That's what stalking does. Happy birthday, Eugenio Suarez. You're the subject of our next segment here on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score.